Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and today my co-host is Adolos.
Adolos is still here.
And he will be through the rest of it. Hopefully. And we have been talking with Milton Pascal, who is an author, and sharing some experiences that are just wonderful. And we took a little bit of an early break because we don't want to interrupt the next story, which is, we started to touch on it, was your dad and coming in and help he got and stuff. Like, I mean, some of the stories that people can share, it's just so tremendous because everybody has a mindset today, but they don't know the truth. And it's very hard to know the truth unless you hear it firsthand.
Absolutely. My father, he sneaked out of Russia. Yeah, that was the only way to get out of Russia. You had to sneak out. And if you were caught at the border, you were shot summarily.
Wow.
Well, he got here before my mother. And she had to sneak out of Russia also.
She also Russian, okay.
And the first time, if the man was caught, he's shot. If a woman was caught, they were sent to home. That's the least they could do, really. So they caught her the first time and sent her home, but she was right back again, and this time she was successful. And sneaking out of Russia was an extremely arduous task. You had to crawl on your belly practically for 5 miles when you got near the border.
To avoid being seen.
Right.
Wow.
We're talking 1903.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, to put this in perspective to today, you know, that's 112 years ago.
Wow. You know? Now, did your mom and dad know each other or no? In Russia?
No, they never knew each other.
Okay.
No, but my father got a job with an uncle who had come before, and he had opened a shoe store, and he got a job as helper.
Here in New York.
And sure enough, my mother showed up as a customer one day.
Okay.
And that's how the romance began. And no time, there was a wedding.
That's amazing. You know, it's so interesting when you put the stories together, both people crawling on their bellies out of Russia to wind up going to have your shoes fixed in New York.
Right.
That you meet.
And here's Milton now as a byproduct of that whole
thing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Able to tell us the story of 1903 and whatnot. Great.
Yeah, it's quite a long time ago.
Yeah,
it's amazing. I'm going to fast forward to today, and I read the not giving it away, the concept of triumvirate, which is very unique and very different. It's time travel almost. Here we have the opening of Star Trek this weekend, and Milton knew it was coming years ago.
Coincidence.
Not giving the story away,
no,
obviously,
no.
Because that's
I don't
just
mind
the concept around it. That's more. I think I find it fascinating when you say, "How did you come up with?" You know,
it just struck me one day. Usually, while I'm sleeping during the night, I get an idea.
Okay,
keeps me up half the night. But I had never had any real connection with cancer. And nobody in the family had it, except my mother did die from it eventually.
Okay.
But the idea of space and time travel intrigued me always. And a little bit, there was a book I read or a play, I forget, Berkeley Square. It was an old play about time travel back in the 1700s.
Oh, okay.
Berkeley Square. I forget who wrote it. Anyway, I got the idea of that from reading that play.
Okay.
And the rest came naturally.
Yeah, you modernize it with your own story. I have nothing to do with Berkeley Square. So anybody listening, this is not the, you know,
no,
a rewrite of Berkeley Square.
Right. No, not at all. No.
Yeah, I have the book, and I actually started to read it, but I ran out of time. And it's very interesting. It's like, I think my understanding of looking at it is it's two doctors 100 years apart that are kind of talking about cancer. And then one of their sisters comes into the equation. And it's a very interesting concept, and I'm looking forward to reading the rest of the book. I have to admit I didn't get it done in time, but, you know, I'm working on it.
It was pretty good. A little sexy.
Yeah.
Oh. So now we have to have censorship on our show. Milton's coming in with his sexy books.
I hope you don't have any censorship. You'll miss the whole most important part.
Spoiler alert. Watch it, Julian. You got to put us on pause or something.
Right. But it was an interesting concept.
I have a question. Oh, okay.
In World War II, going back to that for a minute, and you and I talked a little bit off in between. Your wife comes in from Italy. I'm very interested in that part of it.
You want to go back to the sex part of it?
Well, no.
Come on,
no.
I'm going to break.
Where I'm going with this is that I can relate to what Milton went through, because my first wife, who passed away of cancer, was Italian. And I'm first generation from Germany. You know, my family came here in the 20s, and how difficult it was back then. It was almost like a mixed marriage. You know, my wife was Italian and Catholic. I was German and Protestant. That was like...
What's this year?
1960, 58, 59.
Okay.
And you're talking about 1947. Here you are, Milton Paschkau. Italian girl comes in from Sicily. It had to be... kind of like the same thing.
My father was shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was in construction, and he knew many Italians, and he was not really convinced that they were the best of his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And he was afraid to of what was arriving on his doorstep.
Right. But that's how it was back then. Yeah. You know, that's real. And what I'm trying to get at here is we're doing the same thing again.
Absolutely.
With the new people who come in, the new immigrants.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's the same story, really. You know?
No, it's an amazing judgmental thing.
Yeah, judgmental, exactly.
Because I used to hear those stories from my grandparents. You know, like, I'm Irish, and when I was in high school, I was dating a German girl. And my grandmother at the time was like, "What's the matter? You couldn't find an Irish girl?"
Couldn't you?
And, you know, everybody grew up in their own little world.
Yep.
And even the way people lived, you had the Germans here and the Italians here and the Irish here. And it's like crossing borders was like probably as tough as coming out of Russia.
Yeah,
I mean,
we just tolerated each other.
Yeah,
right. That's true, really. I mean, it's hard to understand that, you know, today, because, you know, it's not like that anymore. But it's like that now with new groups.
Right. People that are here forget what it was like. Not the individuals, say, like you guys, but the second and third generation forget what the parent went through or the grandparent. And, right, you're making a good point, because now it's being starting again with another group of people.
Yeah, it's been going on always.
Yeah, the newest group.
Yeah, but when you've lived through it a little bit, like I did, like Milton, you know, where your family is kind of like, she's Italian.
Right.
You know? Yeah, she's Italian.
it's the truth, you know.
Yeah, today more than ever, there are so many new mixtures arriving, different people, different faiths, that it's really quite a job for others to appreciate them and understand them and accept them as the first immigrants were.
Right.
Well, hopefully, although every generation learns a little bit from the previous generations, but usually you have to learn the hard way, unfortunately.
That's really true. We each have to learn from our own experiences.
You know what the shame of it is? And actually, and I'm not knocking, we have three young people on my right and three older people on my left. And one never knows until you look back the significance of like having an interaction with Milton here today. And that's like, there's nothing wrong with that. But then one day you're in the car, you're seeing an experience, and it's like, that's what that guy was talking about. Now I understand.
Yeah, right.
And you actually feel bad. You say, I didn't mean to do that to that person. And when you did it, you didn't do it maliciously. You thought that was the right thing to do. Until you look back, like just say with Lindy, your father had an opinion. Nothing wrong with it. He was entitled. Like,
he
why?
Was.
You know, and I have an opinion with my three daughters. You can't help it. Then you look back and say, look at how wonderful their lives are. It's like,
Well, once in a while, though, you get like, I heard the comment not long ago, somebody talking to a younger person saying, well, you're 27, right? Well, I was 27 once, and now really? I'm 60, all right?
Right.
Did I learn anything between 27 and 60? I think so.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You do.
And 97, he learned a hell of a lot in his life.
Right.
Yeah.
But what's going on here, which is the way to do it, Milton is sharing. He's not lecturing.
Right.
That's a big difference. When a person tells a story, conveys, obviously even with the emotion of the moment, that's a lot different than saying a finger pointing kind of, this is what you should do. Nobody listens to that.
No.
You know, you read the books and you say, look what the man put together. And the Sicilian escapade, I just, you know, and I don't have it, to be honest with you. I read this stuff. But that's when I would get now. Just on the concept of, you know, I've often said, like, when my grandkids were born, I should have started a little journal. And one day, when I'm not here, they could have it. Grandpa this, and when you never did it. Yeah, Otto's the person who I respect the most because he puts his mind to stuff. When he wants to do it, he's the guy that's going to turn around and put something in a file versus saying 3 years from now, I should have filed it. You work on those things, which I think is tremendous.
You know why this is true, really. I was about 17 years old, and I took a test. New York State gave some kind of an aptitude test. And out of that test came the fact that I had a tendency to procrastinate. And from that point forward, I made a point in my head that I'm not going to be a procrastinator.
Good for you.
You know, I'm not going to just always do for tomorrow. I'm going to put it in my head that I'm going to do it. And I have a list 14 miles long of things I want to do. I would like to write a book, too. I don't have the ability, but I want to write one.
Oh, you never know.
Well, you're right.
Right, until you put it. And see, I'm the reverse. I am a procrastinator, and that's why I respect you so much, because my wife's always, do it now. I said, I'll do it tomorrow. And then I'm running late. I'm like, oh, my God, this happened and that happened. And no, don't worry, Jeff.
Yeah, don't put anything off.
Right, you shouldn't, because you never know.
You never know what the next day brings.
Right. And if you have the opportunity and the time to do something today, do it. Well, because not everybody's going to be as lucky as Milton to be writing a book at 97.
I'll be lucky enough just to be around.
Right. That's true, too.
Well, and Milton, by the way, we don't have the time to talk about his first 97 years. But, but I also know that you were a very major builder on Long Island.
Yes.
So, I mean, before you became a writer, you had a whole life besides that.
We continued in a building family, just like the Levitts,
right,
who built a lot of Long Island. And we followed in Levitt's footsteps. And we knew immediately that Levitt was on the right track with building housing that was affordable for veterans. And we followed right in his footsteps. And we were quite successful. We probably added almost 2,000 houses to Long Island.
Wow.
You had a lot to do with Massapequa Park, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was one of our major spots. They were building homes in that village with basements, true to the history of Brooklyn homes. Every home had a basement. As a result of the high water table, every basement was wet. We came in with a novel plan of a house that had a certain shallow type of a basement, split house. And we said, we'll put one house up. If you like it, we'll build it. If not, we'll stop. And they agreed. It was a very successful. Built almost 400 houses right in that village.
Wow, that's a tremendous number.
Oh, yeah. Hmm.
Well, we do have to end it here. It's amazing. That's another side of Milton. Honestly, Otto, thanks for bringing that up. And we've been talking with Milton Pascal, who is a three-time author and just a wonderful human being, sharing so much with us. And I hope you're going to come back on the show again. And we'll start with the building part of it, because it just shows, you know, a creative person is creative, whether it's in business, whether it's in writing, and whether it's with your wonderful family. You're listening here to Senior Talk Radio at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back.